Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Durant has been on base all three times to open games. Here's a line drive into left field. That's a base hit. Vasquez comes to third. He's waved home. Two-run double for Durant, and we're tied at two. And Refsnyder drives one high and deep into left field. It is way back, and it is off the top of the wall and back into play for now. I think that might have gone over the red line and hit off that basket. I think it's a home run.
Pistol down the left field line, slicing, and it is a fair ball. It's going to score two runs. The pitch is swung on, hit hard, and Story has it to his left. Nice play. Throws to first. Ball game over. The Red Sox sweep the Tigers.
Castiglione kind of duping us there, right? It almost sounded like, I mean, that was almost like the, swing and a pop-up, it's over. And then it was like, oh, they won. It's like, wait, what?
They won the game.
He kind of duped
us. Trevor Story, by the way, made a couple of really nice plays just after we started talking about, is he the best defensive right. second baseman? And we're like, and Bradford's like, who knows? And then he made a couple of real great plays.
Yeah. Well.
So we're on Twitch
I'll tell you
down
what,
here.
We got a trick camera set up, apparently. We got the gentleman just walked right in front, turned around, was like, ish. And then turned around and go back.
Now in the Twitch chat.
Well, Zeke had to. Yeah. The Twitch chatters will not go easy on that golfer that just waltzed right in front. Well, Zeke did a good job. Zeke and Ben kind of put up
a
barrier, but they didn't pull the other end.
I mean, open ended here.
I know. Like, we got a button. Now we're completely barricaded that the Twitchers get your double dose of handsome here at 12:02. Gresh and Keefe here with you. We are at WEEI 103.7 FM down in Providence. The 18 holes for a cause. The everything benefits the Jimmy Fund, and Red Sox were able to get a sweep. We know that the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon coming up next month, and the Red Sox are playing a better brand of baseball right now. Now, look, I get it. They stink. Like Detroit.
Oh, whatever.
Not good.
It, though. Yeah.
But right now, the Red Sox have a better record than Cleveland, who has caught up to them. They have a better record than Tampa Bay right now. And it was, 6 weeks ago that we were like, man, how bad is this going to be? 6 weeks later now, the Red Sox have completely changed where they're at in the standings.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. And really start to where we're at now, the starting rotation has been so much better than expected. And Michael Wacha, kind of up there with Nick Pivetta as the most surprising players on the team. And once again, Michael Wacha goes out there, throws six. It is great. And I don't care what lineup it's against, right? Like, that's the thing, especially in the American League, there are the six good teams, basically,
around there.
And then there's, 9-10 that are trash. So when you're playing one of those teams, you got to take advantage of it. You're going to actually face probably more bad lineups than good lineups. So it doesn't matter. If Michael Wacha and Pivetta are cleaning up against those guys, so be it. You'll take the wins. And so you got some timely hitting once again last night, but the pitching has been way better than expected.
Wacha has been a shock to me. Not a surprise, a shock.
Yeah.
6-1, and last night he's what would that final line turn out to be for him? I realize it was like six innings, two earned, seven strikeouts and two walks. like the strikeout to walk ratio for the guy is way better than I ever would have expected.
No, because you were hoping that he was going to be better than Garrett Richards, and what an insanely low bar that was. Like, this guy has been light years better than Garrett
Richards.
Right. But that was sort of the replacement. Last year they had Richards and Perez, and then this year, you know, they went with Rich Hill. We'll see if James Paxton can end up joining the team or not. But yeah, every time Walker goes out there, don't you feel pretty good? Which I was like, oh, the guy that was good like 10 years ago with the Cardinals, like, that's the guy? You're like, yeah, apparently.
How can you not? Yeah, I mean, no, seriously, he's done a great job. And, you know, the starting pitching has not only turned it around.
It's a real strength.
Yeah, it is. And I know that we scoff over the bullpen, and you and I talked about it yesterday with Rob Bradford about, do you have to go get some people, especially now you got Tanner Houck, who's not going to be able to pitch in Toronto, so that's going to kind of overturn the apple cart at least a little bit in terms of getting. Remember what happened the last time he couldn't go to Toronto?
Yeah, they lost the game because Whitlock had a start. He couldn't
and
close.
And the trickle-down of all the moving all the pitchers around.
Yeah, so that's not ideal. I do think whether it's before the All-Star break or maybe after the All-Star break, when Sale comes back, I think if you put Garrett Whitlock in the bullpen, and now you can use Whitlock and Houck out of the pen with a couple of the other guys and sort of ride the hot hands between Strom and Robles and whoever else that Cora wants to use, might not be that bad. And then you can still, at the trade deadline, add another arm if you see fit, but then the need wouldn't be quite as drastic if Whitlock's back there.
Agreed. Now, the Cleveland Guardians are up next, and the Red Sox have tonight off. We'll all be able to enjoy the NBA draft, and maybe Brad Stevens getting the 29th
possible
pick in the first round, and we'd have something to talk about. But the Cleveland Guardians are 17-4 since Memorial Day, which is the second best record in baseball over that span. So I know I said the Red Sox have a better record than the Guardians, but the Guardians as of late are pulling a Red Sox in terms of kind of, okay, we figured it out a little bit. You know, the Francona was kind of in and out of there for, I know, like last year he ended up missing some time, I think. But Francona's presence on that team is well known. And now the it's going to be playing a team that arguably is as hot as them, and maybe it's the two hottest teams in baseball outside the Yankees.
Yeah, so you had the Angels. They were in the mix, and then they lost like 100 games in a row, and then they fired their manager, and then they were out, and it looked like it was going to be four teams from the AL East making the playoffs, even though the season's early, and it's like, but it looked like those are going to be the four teams all getting in, and then the Guardians kind of out of nowhere have sort of joined the conversation. So it feels like it's going to be combination of Rays, Jays, Red Sox, and Guardians. Three out of those four teams will probably be the wild card, and then you have your division winners across the board. So,
and there isn't a team in there other than maybe the Yankees, or at least for the wild card, that the Red Sox can't beat.
Absolutely not.
There's no one that has more talent than them.
Yep.
There isn't anybody. There are some teams that are playing better, but yeah, I think the Red Sox have set themselves up really to be able to try to go find the pieces that they want. And last night, there was the mention on the TV broadcast of, hey, the Tigers are out of it, but they got a really good bullpen. And, Eck was all over the, hey, some of these guys we saw here over the past couple of days, one of these dudes might end up on the Red Sox at some point around the trade deadline.
Yeah, I think Detroit, and I would look at Oakland as another team that usually has a couple of good arms that you could get, and they're always just willing to trade because they're a mess. Their team's not going anywhere, and if they can get any kind of value or they'll take a decent seventh-inning guy, they would rather have the prospect and hope that they hit on some stud down the road. So those would be two teams to keep an eye on at the deadline.
Now, I know that what we're about to bring up is going to split the audience right down the middle.
All right.
For this reason. For one, it's going to be, this is kooky talk.
Okay.
And for some, it's going to be, oh, my God, could this really happen?
Yep.
So Buster Olney said that there is at least a chance that Aaron Judge could end up with the Red Sox as a free agent this winter. Now, by the way.
Okay.
Now, by the way, Aaron Judge also hit his 27th ya-ya ding-dong last night.
He is 27 tater tots.
And you know what stinks? There was no Sterling on the call. They had Ricky Ricardo in there.
Where the hell was Sterling? Oh, Sterling is scaling back,
He's taking some of those off. So they had Ricky Ricardo in there in Inglés doing his thing.
All right, fair enough.
But it was in Tampa, and Judge hits his 27th, but only listed seven teams who might be in the mix.
Seven teams.
All right. If Judge leaves the Yankees this winter, He said the Red Sox.
Okay.
Obviously the Mets.
Right.
The Dodgers. What a shock.
Yeah.
The Angels.
Can you imagine if the Angels had Ohtani, Trout, Judge, Rendon, and they still missed the playoffs?
You know what? I know there was the discussion on the Greg Hill Show earlier today about what is Ohtani's worth. And believe it or
whatever you're willing to pay.
I was just going to say, Aaron Judge might be cheaper than Ohtani when it's all said and done, as crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, because and Judge is 30, which is another part of it. So he's signing this massive deal, and he'll get a ton, don't get me wrong.
Oh,
but it's not like he's in the position Rafael Devers is in.
Correct.
Where teams can justify paying a little bit more because you know you're not going to get 10 more good years out of Judge, even if you give him a 10-year deal.
No doubt. Devers is a long-term investment, whereas Judge is more of a short-term run. So here's what Olney wrote or said, but here's the transcribe. This is a franchise that traded Mookie Betts, stunned Xander Bogaerts with a shockingly light extension offer, and has apparently made few inroads on a long-term deal with Rafael Devers. There are plenty of players on the trade market worth getting excited about, and lots of others worth following from the big three to potential deadline rockers. So why might Boston owner John Henry get involved with Judge? Because he's responsible for the trade of Betts, green-lighted the offer to Bogaerts, and hasn't locked up Devers. There's unrest among Red Sox fans, many of whom have become convinced their team has become allergic to spending big money. The signing of Judge would change that narrative, rip the Yankees' best position player out of their lineup, and get Red Sox fans turning out early to watch Judge put divots in the aluminum siding that protects the green monster. Rich Keefe, your thoughts.
Who's gone in this scenario? That's my thought. Who's on the team? Because right now you have three big money players, right? They're all in your infield.
Okay.
In Bogaerts, Devers, and Story.
Okay.
That's it. Is there any chance in the world that you have all three of those guys and Judge? Or does somebody
maybe
have to go? All right, then go ahead.
And I'll tell you why. Because to me, it would be J.D. Martinez out.
That's right. He also makes McBurney.
Spending more money to bring in Aaron Judge, and you can decide whether you want to DH him or put him in the outfield, and bingo, bango, there's your spot.
And eventually, Sale's money's coming off the books. Evaldi's money's coming off the books this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because at first, you're right. It sounds kind of fantastical. And you're just like, all right, here we go. This is just another, like, you'd read this on the text line that, oh, Aaron Judge covered the Red Sox.
A Twitcher would send this in.
Yeah, you're 100%.
This is what Sorgia would lead
with.
Yes,
and you're like, all right. But could you rip them away? Now, my concern would be is if you move on from Devers and Bogaerts, you can't reach a deal with those guys, and then you bring in Judge. That reminds me of, remember all the talk when they almost acquired A-Rod?
Yeah.
Go back to 03 or 04.
God,
they almost acquired A-Rod. But part of it was Manny Ramirez and Nomar were going to be gone.
Right.
And I'm like, is that even a positive? Or is that sort of – maybe you're getting the best player, but the other two guys were better than what it was going to be. So I still want my full priority to be on Rafael Devers. I want Rafael Devers here long term.
Would you sacrifice Xander Bogaerts knowing you have Trevor Story to get Aaron Judge?
Yes. Yeah, I would.
Because
right now they don't really have any stud outfielders. And then this way, Story can also play short, and you have two guys in the system that project as being good major leaguers, either at short or second, in Mayer and York. And Judge, even though he's 30, he's going to be good for a while, and he's just a home run machine.
I was just going to say, as long as he's upright in this ballpark, he should crush.
Yeah, I would do that. I love Bogaerts, but I think you got to be realistic and say, would you take the 45, 50 home runs from Judge every year? Yeah.
But doesn't this also get into, and we started the show talking about NBA draft tonight, what Brad Stevens might try to do, some of the options that are realistically available to him.
Yeah.
And then there is the putting together the roster. If you know someone's going to go, who's that person in free agency you might go sign?
Right.
How might you make different trades? Things of that nature. So
would you do it? Would you bring him in?
Look, I would try like hell to keep Bogaerts because he's already at $20 million right now, okay? So if you throw a little more money on the pile, I don't know if it's going to get to $30 million, but let's say you can get Bogaerts for $28 million,
mm-hmm.
and then you're shipping J.D. Martinez out, and you could be inserting Aaron Judge. Like, for me, yeah, love that.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that it finally gets you the other kind of outfield power hitter.
Yeah.
That you're kind of used to having. Like, Alex Verdugo, I think he had a big hit. He drove in two last night.
Yeah, but he's a slap hitter.
There you go. That's the thing. They have all these slap hitters, and I thought batting average didn't matter anymore. You want guys who just drive the ball out of the ballpark. So if I can reconfigure my infield, have Aaron Judge be a part of it, let someone young grow as a DH or something.
I'd never thought of this. I didn't think. I'm surprised the Yankees didn't lock this guy up already. And so if the Red Sox can get him, and let's say you have to sign him to an 8, 9, 10-year deal, you still have the – all right, he plays right – actually, you know what? He's even playing a lot of center field. So you can play him in right or center, and then after 5 years, then he's your DH. And then you play out the string that way. So I'm in on this.
So the Yankees offered Judge 7 years, $213 million. So you're looking at $30 to $35 million a year. And if you're the Red Sox, to pay for a shorter-term contract, you might have to put a couple more slices of cheese on his Whopper, so to speak.
I gotcha.
But then again, it might be worth it. Like, look, I'm all for the – I don't love 10-year deals – period.
But you have to if you want certain guys.
If certain guys.
I'm with you. It's not
a
ideal.
A 30-year-old is not like, if it's Devers and I got to swallow hard and go to 10 years, fine.
Have to.
But this one, I, you know, would Judge, who knows?
So it comes down to me, as long as Devers is still a part of the equation, then I'm all in on this. But if this is one of those things like, oh, we can't reach a deal with him, so now we're going to spend it on him, rather than paying a little bit more for Devers to keep him, and you're like, well, we're going to take Judge away from the Yankees, I wouldn't do it that way. He's 5 years older than him.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Devers long term. But if there's a scenario where you have both, I don't see why not.
Yeah, if you have to entertain it, I think if you're the Red Sox.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
It's Grash and Keith on WEEI.
What's up, Boston?
drive drunk and be successful. There's Rob Gronkowski from a Patriots Super Bowl championship parade.
One of them.
One of the many.
Yeah, I don't know which one
that
was.
True.
Could have been any of them.
So I do think that if you count that moment right there and that Gronk was trying to get Brady to throw him the Lombardi Trophy when they were in Tampa. And I know, I don't think Gronk caught it. There was Cam Brate or one of the other.
Yeah, Brate caught it.
One of the other tight ends caught it. But it was Gronk who was like, hey, drunk Tom, why don't you chuck this over here to me?
Good combo.
And they tried to do it. I mean, those are big moments in NFL parade history. Mm-hmm. But with Rob Gronkowski retiring yesterday.
For now.
We revisit a question that I know was written about when Tom Brady walked away, and really I think when Gronk walked away the first time too, ranking the greatest Patriots ever. And I really think it comes down to this. You got Brady.
Right.
And then you got everybody else. Who's number two on the list?
So the boring answer, but the old school fans would appreciate, is probably John Hanna.
He's
right?
a fat.
And I can't really speak to his game, but by all accounts, maybe the greatest guard of all time in the history of football. So he would have to be on the short list. For me, I'm going to go with Randy Moss. I think Randy Moss is the – yeah, I know.
Wow.
If you're just talking about player, right, because you're not talking about as a Patriot. You're saying NFL career.
He had 3 years and, like, whatever. Four games.
Yep, three-plus years.
Wow.
So you're not talking best Patriot. You're just saying who was the best player to play for the Patriots besides Tom Brady.
You know, that's
– I would take Moss over Gronk.
Yeah, I think for some people, Randy Moss – was kind of a pass-through Patriot.
He set a record, and he rejuvenated his career and put him on this list.
I love the guy. I don't know, and as much as I love Moss, I don't know if, and I'm looking at some of the lists right here, right? Like Bleacher Report did this.
This is legit.
Well, they went Hanna number two, Gronk number three, Tip number four, Ty Law number five, Seymour number six, Mike Haynes, number seven.
Yeah, but what's the definition of this? Is this best as a Patriot player? Ranking the greatest Patriots of all time.
It says
ranking. So I think right with that, you sort of allow it for the time that they were here, mm-hmm. in which I would not include Randy Moss. But if you're just saying their entire careers, I think he was probably the second best wide receiver in the history of the game.
This rankers had only players who spent at least 50% of their careers with the Patriots.
So he's
not
eligible. So he's out.
So you take him out of the mix. But to the point, in terms of actual player, the only, and this is with all due respect to guys like Ty Law and Gronk, and the only player who was near the Brady level in which he was here in terms of the specialness was Moss.
Gronk was on that list, though.
Gronk,
you don't think?
Gronk's pretty,
no, I'm, I, my
Gronk's
argument is for Moss. Close. Yeah.
No, but like Randy Moss was Gronk
ridiculous.
Gronk's a unicorn. Randy Moss was a two-horned unicorn. Like he was
a
just
rare
like,
unicorn.
Just like Tom Brady is like a three-horned unicorn because he's so good at what he does.
Good unicorn analogy.
Now, look, I understand that there's going to be, and I love the fats too, and I, John Hanna.
Oh, Hog Hanna. Listen, I mean, you're going to have a lot of people screaming at you. You're going to get letters written to you about John Hanna.
I've met him five times over 20 years. Yeah. He's introduced himself every time. That's just what he does.
Nice
even the
guy.
Guys that he played with. Hanna's one of those dudes that just introduces himself all the times. But even on this list from Bleacher Report, number 10 is Logan Mankins. So you have a guy, even in the top 10, who kind of played the position. For me, it is Gronk number two.
Yeah,
because
fine.
For as much as Hanna was great, the game was very different at the time. You got beat to hell. You ran the ball. I don't know if John Hanna was a great pass blocker. Like when you
He didn't
of,
have to be.
Well, that's the thing. He didn't have to be. I think he would have survived in the modern-day NFL. But again, I go back to, and I know that they were talking about this on Marloni, Fourier, and Mego yesterday. They kind of picked up our question. But to me, the reason other people were able to eat are because of guys like Randy Moss and Gronk. And the Gronk effect on the offense, let's put it this way. Rob Gronkowski, and I guess you got to include Aaron Hernandez because they were a duo, mm-hmm. but Gronk was so good, they cut Randy Moss and ran the offense differently. Even though they've been successful with Randy Moss there.
Well, they also cut an older Randy Moss something. Who wanted to get paid. And he had the weight of the earth on his shoulders.
He was acting up, too. That was
another
thing.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of was – he was checking out. It had a lot to do with his contract. He didn't feel like he was being –
But they knew Gronk was so good that they said, okay, not only can we get rid of this guy, we're not going to trade him. Like, we're just going to – we can get rid of him. Like, not trade him for
But that was also 22-year-old Gronk versus, 32-year-old Moss or whatever he was at that point.
Right.
So I think they're both – it's one of the two.
because if you're going to come up with, and they already did the NFL All 100 team,
yep.
But if you were just going to come up with the starting lineup on both sides, right? Like, give me the best 11 offensive players of all time and the best 11 defensive players. Brady's on there, Moss is on there, and Gronk is on there. All three of them would be on the best team possible, wouldn't they?
I think with tight end, it's easier for Gronk. I think a wide receiver there would be those.
Well, there's more competition, but I would probably go Rice and Moss and call it a day.
Bingo.
I think that's easy enough.
I mean, I'd take that.
There's more competition. That's why I would say even the third or fourth best wide receiver you might look at as being more valuable than the best tight end.
See,
certainly the best guard.
Here's the other thing for me, and I know we were talking about like guys like Welker and Edelman, and by the way, Welker made the list from the Bleacher Report a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But now in an era where it's easier to throw the ball offensively, you would think it would translate to tight ends as well. But to me, it's translated to more of the space tight ends who can go out into the slot.
Like Kelsey.
Guys like Kelsey, yeah. And people like that. Whereas with Gronk, I don't know if there was that benefit to him considering he was such an inline tight end and they'd attach him to the line of scrimmage beside a tackle or whatever. Look, this is a great problem to have. And I never thought, I mean, think about it, right?
Yeah.
Go back to 2002. They won a title. You're like, oh, my God, they figured it out. Did you ever think we'd be sitting here 20 years later trying to come up with a massive list where there were all-time great legends on the list,
yeah,
like Moss and Gronk and Welker and people like that?
No chance at all. But one thing, and this isn't Gronk's fault, and we mentioned this a little bit yesterday, one thing with him is sort of an unknown, is what would Gronk look like without Brady? We know what Moss looks like without Brady. He had success
He's
with
great.
Cunningham. He had success with Culpepper.
Good
he
point.
Had a little dip, obviously, in Oakland, but that was that was Andrew Walter, and like that was a disaster of a situation.
Andrew Walter, what a great pull.
That was one of the guys. But we saw him with a bunch of different quarterbacks, and he was still the best receiver.
He was. 617-779-7937. So we'll see if Gronk comes back. I think Brady will call. It will be November.
Yeah.
He'll call him.
It'll be after a loss.
Oh.
It'll be either after a loss or a game in which Brady's up at the podium feeling like it's a loss. Maybe they win on defense, and he's just kind of sad because he had one touchdown pass.
Somebody gets hurt,
200
maybe.
Yards. Guy gets banged up, you know, one of his tight ends, or even a receiver. Doesn't even have to be a tight end. And then he'd give Gronk a call, and Gronk would say, you know what? I'm in. I only got to play 10 games or whatever, including the playoffs. I'm in.
Not bad. I mean, listen, Gronk was – you can definitely argue – he's on a very, very, very short list of the greatest second-round picks of all time.
Oh, of course.
It's amazing when you think about it. Yeah. And, I hope Gronk does not come back. Be done with it.
You want him to be done?
Be done.
Yeah, see, I think he's
mess
back.
With your legacy. You came back while you still had something left. What I would hope doesn't happen with Gronk is that he does I can still do it. Yeah, let me come back. And then it's kind of like the Willie Mays where we're like, this is kind of sad.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be that bad. He's already retired longer than Brady was.
Well, that's true. What's he going to get to 40 days? And then he gets off the arc and does his thing.
I've changed my mind. It's like, all right.
Just decides to walk back through the door. This is pretty interesting that as we jump to the NBA draft here with Gresh and Keith, that Ryan Glasspiegel, who...
Excuse me?
He covers sports for the New York Post.
All sports.
He had a great line that said, the NFL threatens to deport reporters to North Korea if draft picks are tipped. Meanwhile, the whole first round of the NBA draft might be charted out before we finish lunch. Because Woj has picks, or at least the way it's looking, looks like Woj has picks 1, 2, and 3 already sniffed out.
A dozy.
Jabari Smith to Orlando. Chet Holmgren to Oklahoma City, and Paolo Banchero to Houston.
I think he'll be the best out of those three, Banchero. I think he's the best one. I think he's the most ready to go. Chet Holmgren, now I know you can't just take everything based on the NCAA tournament and the conference tournament, or you know you could really get led askew. Do you think that guy's going to be a dominant NBA player? He is so thin. I'm trying to think. I know Durant's thin, but like Durant's sort of a next level. You mentioned unicorns.
Chet Holmgren doesn't look normal.
He doesn't do it for me. He does, and I know he's been this stud player his entire high school career, and then his year over at Gonzaga. But he's listed at 7'195".
Come on now,
7'195".
That doesn't make sense.
So he's young. So I'm sure he'll put on a little bit of weight. But every like, what athlete when they're like, oh, the guy needs to put on weight, actually does. I feel like some of these basketball players, like Kevin Durant hasn't put on an ounce since he got into the NBA.
I mean, he's become a little more ripped. Like,
and
you're
like,
right.
Like, Tatum put on weight, but Tatum wasn't this tiny, tiny guy, this frail guy like Holmgren is. I think he's going to get to the NBA and get kind of pushed around.
No, Tatum hit the weight room, and you could see that.
But you could see that he could.
He could,
like,
yeah.
This guy is so thin.
It's weird.
And even in the NCAA tournament, like, he wasn't even the best player Gonzaga had, at least to me. So we'll see. Maybe he'll be good. I don't think he will be. I'm also not huge on Jabari Smith, so I think Banchero is going to be better. And I also like the guard Jaden Ivey from Purdue, who will probably end up going fourth or fifth.
Well,
I think
that's
he's
the thing.
A good player too.
If it is the way Woj has positioned it, that 1, 2, and 3 are going to go off the board like that, then it seems like Ivy becomes kind of the bell of the ball at number four. And there were some rumblings out there that teams were trying to jump up to get to four to be in position to be able to grab him. Ryan McDonough told us this draft is flat.
Yeah.
I don't mind Smith. The one thing I do like about Jabari Smith is that he played for a guy that, for my money, Bruce Pearl might as well be a pro coach. He's paying dudes for 20 years.
Yeah, he's doing a great job.
Let somebody else pay those guys and you go coach him. Yeah. But he looks like a pro. Like he's got, as much as we just talked about with Chet Holmgren, where he's all arms and legs and gangly.
Bony.
Jabari Smith walks in and you're like, okay, that guy looks like a basketball player. That guy looks like somebody who's going to grow appropriately and really be able to fill out.
He's listed at 6'10", 220. So you already get the same, even though that's thin. Like, that really is. But being a few inches shorter than Chet Holmgren and having almost 25, 30 pounds on him, like that is a big difference.
Yeah, and I don't know. There isn't that rush to get to the top. It kind of feels like one of those, like you'd mentioned earlier, Danny Ainge has got 3 first-round picks. I'd love to give away 2 of them, but nobody wants them.
Well, and that's why it's
so
curious.
So you do a draft and stash.
That's why it is a little curious that the Celtics reportedly want to get into the first round. Because right now they don't. They only have a late second, and who knows whether they'll use that or not.
What's the target?
I don't know what the target is. Is it just trying to find an upgrade over Peyton Pritchard or Grant Williams and getting a cheaper guy who you have longer term, and then maybe you flip those guys? I'm not entirely sure. One guy I think would be decent. I don't know if he falls, because the rumor is they're trying to trade with Golden State at 28.
Yep.
So I don't know if they have a specific guy in mind or if they have like a group of players and then whoever's available. Kid from Kentucky, Ty Washington. He could be Ty-Ty.
Ty-Ty?
Yeah, Ty-Ty.
So wait a minute.
Ty-Ty.
There's a chance we could have.
You don't like Ty-Ty?
No. In fact, I'm going the other way on this. There's a chance we could have a Ty-Ty on the Celtics and a Lil Jordan on the Patriots.
Yeah, there's a world where that could take place.
We're the all-name city all of a sudden if those guys are there.
That would be pretty good. And so he's a guard, and then I don't think you'd have need for Peyton Pritchard, and maybe you feel like the upside is a little bit higher with that guy. So I don't know. I think it all depends on who's still available. Some mock drafts have him going in the 20s. I'm looking at Kevin O'Connor's big board on the Ringer. He's got him at 30 right overall. So, I don't know. Calls him a versatile shot creator with a great feel for making his teammates better.
No.
Doesn't that kind of sum up what Brad Stevens was talking about the other day?
That's a good point.
Right? Like,
nope,
he wants a playmaker.
That's very true.
And he seems like somebody who could come in there. He's got to work on his three-point shot. But, again, the Celtics have drafted so many guys that couldn't shoot and then hope that they developed into it, including Jaylen Brown and Grant Williams, who have. So maybe our guy Ty-Ty could.
So it looks like Jabari Smith, is going to be the number one pick. And FanDuel put this out yesterday, and I loathe the rankings and stuff like that. And I think it's a different kind of discussion figuring out who the second best player of a franchise is versus let's just take the top 10 number one overall picks over the last 10 years and rank them.
Okay.
Until you look at this list.
Yeah, it's an interesting group, isn't it?
To say the least. Do we go 1 to 10 or 10 to 1? Should we go?
Let's go.
Top to bottom, bottom to top.
Yeah, let's go 10 to 1 and really, really build the
build the suspense.
Yeah.
So number 10. Anthony Bennett of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Has to be the worst first-round pick in the history of sports.
Is he the Ryan Leaf of the
NBA?
Well,
Leaf was number two. Leaf was the number two pick.
That's so true.
He doesn't even get that. No, Anthony Bennett, this was not a great draft, but I don't think there's anybody worse than Anthony Bennett. I'm trying to look up his games played.
All right,
I can't believe it's many.
Well, let me give you number 9, Markelle Fultz.
Stinks. Yep, no, he stinks, and then it's even worse when Jason Tatum is picked 2 picks after Markelle Fultz. But at least he's still kind of kicking around the league. Anthony Bennett, was the number one pick in the draft, played 151 total games, which to me is even a surprise. Mm-hmm. He, of course, got drafted by Cleveland and then got flipped to Minnesota for Kevin Love. He was part of that deal. So he only played 52 games for Cleveland, then only 57 for Minnesota, then he went to Toronto, then he went to Brooklyn. So four teams in 4 years, 151 games out of the league. Average 4 points a game.
That is
the it's the worst first round pick.
And some would argue they made a trade. That's the other thing about Philadelphia that blows me away. Not only did they draft that guy number one.
Oh, you're talking about Fultz.
Fultz.
Oh, I was talking about Bennett.
Sorry.
I'm talking about Bennett.
That they traded to get Markelle Fultz. You're right. Like, at least with Anthony Bennett, it was, all right, you got the pick. You're picking the guy. But you're right. Historically bad draft, if I'm not mistaken.
Because some would call Greg Oden a really bad pick. But that's more of a, he just got injured. And I don't know. I mean, I guess there was red flags with him because he was hurt. But Anthony Bennett, to me, is one, he couldn't play. He, like, it was an absolute bust.
There you go. So number nine on this list, Markelle Fultz, who we know stinks. Number eight, Ben Simmons.
I don't know how you possibly rank him, because this, believe it or not, he was all-NBA. He was an all-NBA player just a couple of years ago, and now he sits out the whole year. You don't know if he's ever going to play again. He can't make free throws. He won't shoot threes. He's even afraid to take layups because he doesn't want to get fouled. So that's a guy who stalks all over the place, because at the time that he was picked, and I know he was hurt, but then he came back, it looked like a good pick.
Yep.
It looked like, okay, that guy's a real player, and maybe he won't be a Hall of Famer, but he looked like an all-star. And then now it's like he's useless. At least Markelle Fultz plays. Ben Simmons doesn't even play.
Yeah, Ben Simmons won the lottery of life.
Yeah.
He got the big contract, and now he hasn't had to do much in terms of earning the big dough. No. Number seven, and these are number one overall picks the last 10 years, according to FanDuel. They kind of rank him 1 through 10. Number seven, Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, he's fine.
Jury's still out.
We'll see. He's on a terrible team. We'll see. And you see, they flipped Jeremy Grant. They traded Jeremy Grant to Portland.
To Portland.
For a first-round pick in like 3 years.
And so now Portland has gone on this kind of little deal of like, okay, we're trying to sneaky sort of reboot this team. I wish they'd go the other way.
Keep Lillard, and they're going to try to stay together. But they got rid of McCollum.
Because Damian Lillard would be a no-brainer. Like, if he were available, okay, trade Smart, trade White, trade Williams, trade the picks, trade Al. Go get that guy, and we'll figure out the rest. Number six was Andrew Wiggins, who has completely changed the narrative on his career after this season.
Yeah, Wiggins and Simmons have almost flipped where they're at. Not that Wiggins was, bagging out of games, but he's just like, okay, hollow stats on a bad team, and then he joins a winner, and he's really turned his career around.
Number five, DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because they drafted him. Our guy Ryan McDonough drafted him, and as he pointed out, got fired before he even played a game. And then he's been a double-double all 4 years in the league and was the starting center on a team that made the finals a year ago and was the number one seed this year. But they didn't give him the big extension. Like, even Phoenix was hesitant to sign him. So he's sort of a peculiar case. Good NBA player, but not, an all-NBA guy.
Number four, Zion. I would have him lower on this list only because of the injuries.
I think you're right. Well, again, it's been a season where he was great, and then a season where he didn't play. So it's like, all right, what is he?
Yeah.
Because he was awesome 2 years ago.
You know what I know he is? He's fat.
He's a big fella.
He is a hoss, but not in a good way.
No.
Number three, Anthony Edwards, who is on his way to becoming a star.
And people questioned him around this time a couple years ago when he got drafted. They were like, oh, he doesn't love basketball. Like, I don't know. He looks like basketball loves him.
He loved money to play basketball and get his money, so therefore he loves basketball.
Yeah, he's doing a great job.
I got no problem with that. Number two, Karl-Anthony Towns, who he's
good but flawed.
He is soft.
He seems like a soft loser.
Yeah.
That's very disrespectful, but for lack of a better word, I don't have a thesaurus like that guy did for Congress.
Who can refute it, though?
Yeah, right.
I mean, who's going to step up and be like, no, Karl-Anthony Towns is tough.
And it's funny. This was the first year Minnesota actually made a leap, and you notice they got rid of Wiggins, and it had less to do with Towns and more to do with Edwards, if you ask me.
And then number one, Anthony Davis.
Yeah, but there's still big debates on you're right. Davis should be on that. I agree. He's number
compared
one.
Compared on this list. By the way, if these are the number one overall picks in the draft for the last 10 years, this is not exactly an incredibly impressive list.
Like, in what, three or four out of those 10 even were healthy this year? Like, that's a crazy list. All those guys, Davis didn't play, Zion didn't play, Ben Simmons didn't play, Fultz and obviously Bennett's out of the league. Yeah, that's an interesting
list. You can take one guy on this list. Who is it? Mine's easy.
Ooh, one guy on this list.
Anthony Edwards for me. That guy can go.
Yep, I'll go. I would have to agree. Yeah, because Davis, I think, is done. I think Towns. Yeah, I go with Edwards. I go with Edwards over Cunningham because Cunningham obviously has the most to go.
Agreed. We slow it down for some slow burr. That's right. That's next.
WEEI.
WEEI. New England Sports Original. It's
after the end of a good fight. You deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Gresh and Keefe on WEEI. Follow the show on Insta at Gresh Keefe.
Oh, baby. It's been a bit since we've been able to have a good slow burn. The legendary host on WEEI, Greg Hill, is roaming around. And, of course, we lift from his show because today's slow burn, Keefe, is really slow burn.
How do you like that? That's the play on words. Great interview earlier this week. Check the Odyssey app or WEEI.com for the full Bill Burr on the Greg Hill Morning Show, where, let's face it, didn't go great for Wiggy.
No, it
I
did
not. I think any kind of point. And I love Wiggy. Let me point by the way.
We love Dossiers. It's a great place to see the nudes.
But really, everything he brought up got shot down pretty quick by Bill Burr.
Yep. And so we have, I would say we only have time for one.
Fine.
So do we want to do
the best one?
Which is it the Brady or the Subway thing?
They were both pretty good, weren't they? Maybe the Brady.
All right, let's go with Burr versus Wiggy on Tom Brady. Here we go. Let's slow it down.
No, I always thought the guy was going to retire here, and this was, you know, he's going to lay down his roots here, and his kids would go to school here. Went
my
so
kids
quick.
Could get to know his kids, and then me and Tom could go to lunch one time.
That's how
I thought it was going to be, and then he killed our dream that he didn't realize was his dream also, and he went to Tampa.
All right. Now he's doing early bird specials down there. I know you're a mask guy. I don't understand.
Down there in the sunshine, he doesn't care.
No, he don't. He don't. I know you're a masshole like me, unlike Brady.
Stop lumping me into you to make your point, trying to make sense. You're being a big baby about
not being a baby. I'm just spitting facts.
Definitely do not belong to you. Just enjoy them while they're here, and then thank them for their service, just like the troops. You go off on somebody who's no longer in the Marines?
No.
You used to defend the country. I thought you were a hero. Throw it through. Then you didn't re-up.
Poor Wiggs just walked
right into it. So I would have
to
say, though, and again, we all have bad takes. This would have to be in the Hall of Fame of bad Wiggy takes. So basically, if you miss it.
Stop it. That wing is already full. We have to take something out to put one in there.
Something has to come out. I think this goes to the top. So this is seriously his take. So Tom Brady, who was from California,
uh-huh,
then went to school in Michigan.
That's right.
And then got drafted by the Patriots.
Yep.
And then, as we know, Left played for Tampa for a couple of years and is still going, right?
Jermaine's teammate at one point in time.
He was. He also has homes all over the world.
Yep.
And Wiggy's upset that he didn't move back and live in Boston forever. Does anybody, like, think about that. Does anybody even think about where, like, your favorite athlete, where do they live?
Yeah, no.
I don't care. No. If they play for the team you like, you root for them.
Unless they're your neighbor, you don't care.
But imagine that. Imagine being like, why doesn't Paul Pierce live around here? Like, who cares? What does it matter?
Should Kevin Garnett? No, that was long enough.
No,
I'm trying to
right.
think.
No, and Brady, you're right. Is it a
How come Antoine Walker didn't stay?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, who cares? It's so weird to me. And he's like offended by it. And he's like trying to bring it up. And Bill Burr's like, what? Like, this is you want him to hang around? He's not even from here. He sort of adopted it as his hometown while he was here.
Yeah.
Right? Lived here for 20 years. But even when he was quote-unquote living here or playing here, he had a house in California, right, that he sold to Dr. Dre. He had a place in Costa Rica, I think. He had a place in Miami. Like, he's had New York, right? He has a son that lives in New York, so he's all over the place. Why you would care about where somebody lives is insane to me.
So if you're older, like, if say Bill Belichick gets done coaching with the Patriots,
move to Mars.
And
I don't care.
And he says, I'm going to Hawaii. Are we going to rip him? I mean, his kids are older. And by the way,
I think
his daughter's still like the lacrosse coach at Holy Cross or something like that.
I think based on Wiggy's rationale, Jason Tatum should never leave Boston.
That's right.
Ever.
And Jaylen Brown.
These guys are
Boston. Because those guys are stars. If you're not passing through... Then
but, like, Gronk, does he hold Gronk to that same standard? Like, Gronk used to live here?
Well, he played for another team, so I guess that hits the reset button, maybe?
Well, no, but
Brady because that was the rip for Brady, too, yeah.
It's a bizarre thing, right? Because you can argue with Wiggy about certain things, right? About, you know, he thinks he should blow up the Celtics. I think they shouldn't, but whatever. That's his take. And that's not, you know, the worst of all time.
Nope.
But caring where an athlete lives is just something that I think only he could even think of.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, that is... I mean,
do you even know where any of these guys live?
No.
Like, no. Like, yeah, some of the Bruins you'll bump into in the North End, but that doesn't mean they live there year-round.
Yeah, and you know what? If Jake DeBrus moved away, great. There's some guys we want to move away and get the hell out of here.
What's funny is if Wiggy can't stand Tukarask, and Tukarask lives here, loves it here. This is his favorite place ever moving. He loves it here. This is his town now.
Did he rip Krejci for going back to
Czech good question. Republic? Yeah, probably.
We'll have to ask Grego on that. We roll into the final hour, Gresham Keefe. We are WEEI's 18 Holes for a Cause in conjunction with our 103.7 FM affiliate down in Providence. It all benefits the Jimmy Fund. We're going to get into the NBA draft and the latest rumors and who the Celtics could acquire with some of these player trade exceptions next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.